Facebook has turned into a platform where anyone can spew nonsense. Sounds like these guys. Like our Facebook page, 99.3 ESPN Radio. This is Scheman and Shepherd.
Scheman and Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN. 1 hour in the books, three more to go. Big hour this hour. Coming up, we're going to talk to John Naylor from the City of Palms Classic. It's the 46th annual. It's a big deal. We broadcast live from there last year. We're doing it again this year. But we're going to talk to the executive director at the bottom of the hour, kind of give you a feel for who some of the top athletes that are coming in, the top high schools around the country, and then we're going to give away some tickets to that as well. Marcus Grant will be here at 4:30 to talk fantasy football from the NFL Network. And Rick Hora will be here as well.
I know just last week on SportsCenter, they had the number three player in this year's class commit.
Yep. Yeah.
He's on school from Fort Lauderdale. I believe is it Northwestern?
Whatever, it doesn't matter the school.
Anyway, he's committed to Duke. Coach K is going to be there. I don't know about Friday when we're there, but he'll be there recruiting some talent. Roy Williams, Coach Cal is normally makes an appearance as well. So there's
last year we had Penny Hardaway on the show, and now he's coaching Memphis.
That's right.
And he actually signed the number one player in the country who was on his team last year when they were down here.
Yep. Very good.
Oh, I can remember seeing, I mean, some big-time players come through here. O.J. Mayo was here a few years. The best team I ever saw was when it was still being held at Bishop Verreaux's high school gym, which was a cool feel to it, especially when it got packed for those cool late-night games. But Matterday from California brought a team in. Five-star recruit named Jamie King. Didn't amount to much, but the kid could shoot from the half-court line.
Yeah.
And that team had ended up, all five starters went to big-time Division I programs. It's a blast to go to. It really is.
Well, that's cool. I'm looking forward to the discussion today and looking forward to broadcasting out there next week. Speaking of broadcasting out about tomorrow, we will be at the Walmart in Estero at 41 and Estero Parkway. In fact, it's the Beasley Bike Drive. We're doing it all day long. Our stations are all going to be out there. And as a matter of fact, as early as 6 a.m., and then we'll close it out from 2 to 6. But if you can only make it at lunchtime, go ahead and do it then. Or on your way to work or whatever the case may be. We're looking for new bikes.
Lots of donations coming in already. Yeah,
toys, new toys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Toys for Tots. We're out there helping out a good cause. So that is tomorrow. We invite you to be out there. All right. We'll talk a little college football here. DJ Durkin, he was at Maryland.
I'm quite frankly a little shocked.
Player
to be
died
with you.
Yeah,
I know. Finney said today on TV he was appalled. He was really disappointed.
Well,
in Nick Saban.
Nick Saban is taking him under his wing on a step. Nick Saban seems to be the coach whisperer or the coach rehabber here.
But the big difference between Butch Jones and this guy, big difference, big difference.
Butch Jones looked like he just couldn't coach anymore. And then before that, it was the who's your offensive coordinator?
Steve Sarkisian.
Steve Sarkisian, who was having some big-time problems with drinking.
Remember, Lane Kiffin couldn't get a job there for a while. He comes on. He rehabilitates his image. Now he's going into his third year at FAU.
Yeah. So, you look.
Should say ending his second year.
Nick Saban,
we don't know if he'll be there next
Nick
year.
Nick Saban can do whatever he wants. He's running the show. He's the highest-paid guy. He's winning the championships. He's getting all the five-star recruits. And if he wants to add people to his staff and help rehab them, so be it. He's the one guy that could do it without, you know, if he takes a risk on a guy, it's not going to break his program.
Well, I wonder next time he speaks to the media or the national media when it's not so comfy in Tuscaloosa, if he's going to be, you know, interested. Because the question's going to be thrown at him over and over, especially if the guy's on his staff for the Orange Bowl. It's going to come. Unfortunately, they'll talk more about that than they will the game, more than likely.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he
did he take Hugh Freeze on for a while?
No.
No.
Should've.
He was going to.
Yeah.
And then the SEC rose a stink about
did
it.
Did they? Okay.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But what's a bigger offense? I mean,
hookers are a dead player.
Are we talking in real life, or are we talking with the NCAA?
Or just the SEC?
No, that's a serious question. Yeah. Real life, it's not even a
close
topic for conversation.
Of course,
but
in
the NCAA's eyes, it's what Hugh Freeze did.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
it's somewhat, but I mean, Hugh Freeze is going to go on and be fine. I'm convinced of it. I'm not sure about DJ Durkin. I mean, I'm not sure.
Remember the board. Remember the Board of Regents voted to keep him.
Yeah,
I know. And then backlash.
Shockingly,
I know.
The Board of Regents has been out of step on that situation from day one over at Maryland. The way they handled that whole thing. President, I thought, had it under control, was doing the good PR thing, was talking to the family, open book policy, and the Board of Regents came in there and shut all that down and dragged it on for 4 months and gave nobody any information, and then voted to keep DJ Durkin.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely shameful. Absolutely shameful.
Absolutely was.
Yeah, but it's a bad look for Saban. I can't defend it other than... This guy's out there. He's not employed right now. You're going up against a high-powered offense in Oklahoma, a similar offense to what he put together with Maryland, and you're not bringing him in to add to the culture of your program. You're bringing him in maybe to get an insight into the
A couple of different schemes.
Offenses,
I'm sure he's going to show him a couple of different schemes that he did
and
that
he's
might
not,
be similar.
And he's not hired. He has not been paid by Alabama.
He's an intern.
He is not on the staff. He's a glorified intern. He is coming in. He was with the team last week and this week, per the report.
Well, did Butch Jones get paid to sit up there in the back of the film room
did
and
he?
Hold a clipboard?
Yeah. It was minimal, though.
Oh, it was minimal, but yeah, he got paid.
Yeah,
he was on staff this year.
Yeah, but what?
Look, if I'm DJ Durkin and I have no options, and it looks like I'm out of coaching, and I just latched on to Nick Saban, I mean, good for him. Good for DJ Durkin. Good move. It's what you got to do. This is an awesome text, by the way, from the 239. I want to read it on the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. If I show up to see you guys at Walmart tomorrow for all the donations and donate rounders and a few good men for the kids, can I be guaranteed that Chris's son gets them as a Christmas present so that he's not as out of touch as his father? Thank you, 239.
You know what? I'm coming around on a few good men. I gotta watch that.
Yeah? What about Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
Movie. That's another great movie.
It's great for the holidays.
Maybe next year.
You're going to pick one? All right, fine.
Out of your mind.
No, I got to watch A Few Good Men. I mean, I'm big enough to admit
because
that.
Because what? You're feeling out of touch anytime there's a reference or
no,
what?
No, I don't care about that. No, I feel like the actors in it.
Yeah.
I could see myself getting into that storyline. It looks like a good movie.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
A little old, but it's fine.
It stands up.
That does stand
it
up.
It holds up.
Yeah, I'm surprised they never made a sequel.
That
like
movie will be great 20 years from now.
Yeah, what's the sequel?
Oh, I thought the sequel
could be... A Good Man?
No.
Exactly.
I thought it would have been an interesting sequel.
Don't ruin it! Don't ruin it or I'm not watching.
Don't ruin it!
Yeah, spoiler alert!
It's been 20 years!
Someone's going to text it in now that you even said
that. All right,
that.
Hold on. I'm going to turn my headphones down. So I can't hear you guys talking.
Pete's
you guys
already
can
given,
talk
you know
about
my scenario.
Pete's
talk
given the scenario on the air.
I've given it before.
Pete's already written the sequel.
So Tom Cruise defends Colonel Jessup, if that's even legally possible.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be a good... And then he marries Demi Moore.
All right. You back up?
La,
good
la,
to go?
La. I'm not listening.
Sorry, okay.
La, 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 la.
All right. Oh, there was another thing I wanted to bring up in the time we have in this segment. I wanted honest opinion on this because there was a story about your former stomping grounds, WEEI, and, of course, this past year we carried the Red Sox on this station on their way to the World Series. They have their spring training down here, yada, yada, yada.
We'll again next year as well.
Yeah. Okay. Good to know. So they're denying a report that they were wanting to change the Red Sox broadcast. You know the typical play-by-play of a baseball game. We all know it. Those that are us are older, we grew up on it. We enjoy it. They were wanting to mix it up a little bit and make the games into a talk show format. Now, keep in mind, WEEI is one of the, if not the, highest-rated sports talk show in the country.
Sports stations in the country, yes.
And they wanted to kind of blur that format into the play-by-play of the games. What do you think about that?
And they have the most expensive radio contract. They play the Red Sox a lot. Of money, a lot of money, like $20 million a year.
So if
money,
you
like
were to
more than the Yankees get from their flagship type of money.
So if you were to tune in to a Red Sox game with this, there you wouldn't necessarily hear the standard traditional play by play. It'd be more like just a continuation of a talk show while the game is going on while they're talking about.
This was brought up when I was there, and I would fill in and do mornings with Kirk Menahan and Jerry Callahan, and this was brought up. This has been brought up many, many times. And I actually thought they were going to experiment with it right before we moved down here a couple of years ago, at least for one game, and do it that way. I understand the premise. It's not going to happen. It's not going to, from my understanding, it's not going to happen. But I do understand the premise of it, because there's a lot of I'm not sure I necessarily agree with it, but I understand the direction. I understand why, because – and now again, you're talking about baseball crazy town like Boston, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to think, if you're a Marlin fan, it might work better in that format, because – I mean, only because you're like, you know, who's really paying? You don't understand. I mean, taking calls during the game, ball one. But here's Joey in Fort Myers.
Well, are they doing that?
That was going to be part of it.
Okay.
Taking calls during the game, doing stuff on interacting on social media during the game. But you know how. You know, you get baseball play. There's a ton of downtime in baseball play by play, a ton.
Well, isn't that why we like baseball play by play? Because of
nice background.
Right. I mean, you can have a conversation going through a half inning, strike one on the corner, you know, then get right back
those
to whatever
good at it.
Conversation is. I think that this is more, at least from the putting my programming hat on, it's a way to engage with.
With
the younger listener, because...
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely is.
Just a peek behind the curtain. I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but if you're, let's say, 65 years old, and you're listening to the radio station, you almost... I don't want to say you don't matter, because you do matter, but that's not why the radio station is being bought by advertisers, which is what, at the end of the day, keeps us afloat. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is the commercials that you hear,
yep.
The spots that you hear, all that stuff. So you have to keep the younger end of that targeted 25-54 demo. You have to keep the 25 to 34 year olds listening to your radio station.
Well, whether EEI and the Red Sox ever do this or not, this had never even crossed my mind. And
I think it'll happen.
Now that I hear it, it will happen somewhere. Somebody will do it.
Somebody will do it, because it's what Chris said. The younger fans are not tuning in. They simply are not. And even in the baseball Northeast crazy cities and in the Cubs, and it's too slow. The game is simply too damn slow for the younger generation. For many of them, not everybody, but a big chunk of it. So I do think you're going to start seeing experimented with, maybe even. In exhibition games,
yeah,
would not surprise me, even this year, for Red Sox or Yankees or some other teams, exhibition games, and you experiment doing it. Why not? If you're going to do it, experiment in exhibition, see how it goes.
I'm just trying to picture back in my day, because the tradition, I grew up with Ernie Harwell and Paul Carey on WJR, and I'm trying to picture it. Now, do they add some kind of smart aleck like a Will Cain in the mix during the traditional broadcast that I grew up on, and say, all right, go stir it up, guys. Here you go. I don't know. Will be done.
Will you lose the flavor of the moment by having an interaction with fans during the game? Would it make it more interesting? Would you be more inclined to, you know, to tune in, as we were talking about? Or would it bother the hell out of you? Because you're old school and just say, no, I'm not dealing with this.
I don't know, because I grew up old school with the greatest of the traditions, but then I'm also a talk show host, and I like sports talk radio. I'm wondering if I would like this. I might.
I think it's a natural evolution, though, because even sports talk, which became a thing, like a big thing, 25 or 30 years ago?
When I was a kid, it didn't exist.
1987.
Right. So, I mean, but there's always going to be a natural evolution to... whatever it is as a broadcast. I mean, we went from having your standard 6 and 7 o'clock evening news to now we have news outlets that's what they, channels that just, it's news.
Yeah.
All the time news.
I think baseball is the only sport you could do this. And I think it's going to happen sooner rather than later. It just may not be this year.
I also wonder, because given EEI's high ratings for sports talk, as popular as the Red Sox are and as expensive as they are, do the ratings actually dip just a bit because they're leaving their talk format and going to play-by-play, or because the Red Sox are good and all that, do they maintain?
I can tell you this, and I am 99.9% sure. When the Red Sox won the World Series in 04, obviously the ratings were good. But from my understanding, if I remember my old PD, Jason Wolf, I think it was because my old partner Glenn Ordway and I were talking about it. I remember in 2005, I think the trends in September and October, they got swept by the White Sox in 05. I think the ratings were higher that year than they actually were when they won it, on the radio anyway. It was a weird type of trend that I remember him saying. I was like, wow, that is just...
Chris, this is a tougher market to gauge. We carry play-by-play, and we've had some ratings books where our nighttime ratings just went through the roof because of the play-by-play, and then other times I wonder if it, I don't know.
But I'm kind of envious of a program director in a major market like that where it's kind of cut and dry. I don't want to say easy, but it's just if you're a program director for a sports station in or around the Boston area, you know it's Red Sox, Patriots, Celtics.
Yeah, and that
is what it is.
And the problem with the Red Sox would be this, and I'm sure, and it doesn't matter what city you're in. Most outlets, if you're carrying their games, probably don't want you talking about another outlet.
Yeah,
that doesn't carry their games.
Yeah,
all right. And you would probably get more than likely, depending on the topics of the day, you're not necessarily gonna. If you're gonna take calls during a baseball broadcast, you may not get baseball callers. You may get callers who want to talk about a lot of other things.
Talk about the Patriots.
Well, I'm saying, no matter what market you're in, if you're in Philadelphia, you're going to talk to the Eagles. You know, if you had that down here for the Marlins, you might be talking more college football during the broadcast than you would. So you got to have, first of all, you got to have talk show hosts who, or you're going to have play-by-play/color men that can do both and are comfortable at it.
And also for those of you who don't
know.
And
they're very, very different if you're not used to doing it.
I think that would work in a market like Miami where let's say it's the dog days of summer and they got a 7 o'clock game against the Padres.
Right.
I'm talking a game that really nobody cares about.
Yeah.
Well, the station over there, I believe it's QAM that has the rights over there.
I guarantee they'd rather have the nighttime guy on, the regular guy on.
Yeah, well, we're going to go to the ballpark, but hey, coming up in the seventh inning, we're going to bring Joe Zagacki up to talk about the new offensive coordinator with the U.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing a hypothetical out there, but I think it would work.
I do too.
Yeah.
I think it would work, and I also think interacting with callers, but here's the other part of that. You know, and again, just using EI as an example for this. All right, say they stink, or there's some, you know, you could get call after call after call ripping the organization. They get call after call. You get calls up there when they're winning, championships, you know? So there's certain markets where, if they're going to talk baseball, you're going to get people who I would think 99% have nothing positive to say at all about the Marlins. Do you want that if you're Derek Jeter and company? Do you want that? Or if you're in San Diego, do you want people calling and ripping the Padres for 3 hours going, I'd rather talk about something else other than baseball.
Think about the relationship.
And then he's trying for seconds. By the way, Joe, and the Chargers now, they are going to move back to San Diego. that's what I'm saying.
But think about the relationship of the broadcaster and the team. They're pretty tight-knit, and teams very, very picky about if there's a lot of criticism coming. Now you got, Jeter sucks, man. He's running this place into the ground. And get that for 3 hours every night.
But when somebody's calling in, you know what? Even to complain, when we get people complaining on the text line or people calling in saying you suck, you know what they're doing? They're listening.
Yeah, they're still there.
They're still listening to what you're saying. They're still listening. That's still a captivated audience. So, be critical of Jeter.
And for those that don't know, the way the old-fashioned model for radio, the way it works, you have your talk programming during the day, and the theory is you have play-by-play on at night, and people are listening at night on the radio, and then when they go to bed and get back in the car the next morning to go to work, the radio's still on the last station they were listening to, and then boom, it goes right into your morning show, and it's a big cycle. That's how it's supposed to work.
Anyway. Yeah, but that's changed a lot.
Yeah, that's kind of old-timey
a little
bit.
With the addition of satellite radio, and now you can listen to what's really going to change the dynamic in radio, and it's going to happen in the next couple of years. Once in every car, you're going to have, it's basically going to be, you can listen to any, you're going to have iTunes, but you're able to listen to any radio station you want automatically. Some cars already have it, where you can just, it doesn't matter what the wattage is at a particular station. I mean, you can listen to something in Guam if you want, but that's what's going to be. Once that happens, then that is going to change the whole business again, because it won't matter where you are, at home is different, but you'll be able to listen online, but you'll be able to listen to any single radio station that you want to in your car whenever you want, no matter what state it's in. And you can do that now. A lot of people do that with their iPhones. They plug them in, and you just, if you, of course, all our signal is so great here at 99.3 ESPN.
Well, no, but it's not just
drive, if they're driving, all of a sudden they're in Jacksonville, say, hey, I'm going to use my iPhone and listen to Craig and Pete and Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What were you say?
It's just being accessible. The whole internet phase is, you're in the car. How do we get How do you listen to us outside of your car?
Right.
Sitting at your desk when you get home.
Yeah.
And we have a great conversation going like this one.
Yeah. Well, you're listening. Most people, I don't think, are listening. They're listening on their car radios. Most people, I think most talk show callers, whether it's sports or news, most of the callers are listening in the car.
Yep.
And they're using their cell phones. I don't think a lot of people anymore really sitting at home listening on a, quote, radio. They're listening on their devices, on their phones, on their iPads.
There's a handful.
There are a handful. But the days of listening, quote, unquote, on the radio.
Right, yeah.
Or unless you're in your car, which is obviously.
Well, and I know that's frustrating some people who are like our big Bucks fans. Obviously, we carry the Bucks every time they play. We got Gene Deckerhoff, and you're going to hear the hometown call with that.
Yeah, right. And that's fine.
Well, I know people would love to watch the game on Fox and pull up our app and stream the broadcast. You can't do that. That's a different broadcasting right.
You can only do it in your home. In some sports, the home market, you're allowed to do that. You have to live in a certain radius of the, usually 25 miles.
Yeah, we are never, we are rarely allowed to stream play-by-play.
Yeah. And not just us.
The whole country is that way because they don't want to give up the rights. Yep. You know. By the way, just real quick, this whole started because I was looking at Butch Jones as a coach. He's not even listed on the Alabama I'm on the Alabama webpage right now, official, looking at their coaching staff, and he's not on here in any way, shape, or form.
Well, now he's the tight ends coach in Maryland.
I have Nick Saban's number right here in front of me.
He's recruiting.
His real number?
I don't know. It's his office number.
Direct line to
205-348-3600.
There we go. A couple people listening on the app right now.
How about that? Yeah, I like that very much.
Download it for free. 99.3 ESPN Radio.
All right. That's a good good commercial. All right. Coming up, John Naylor is going to join us. He's the executive director of the City of Palms. We will talk to him. We got their 46th annual tournament coming up. We're going to be broadcasting live from next week as well and giving away some tickets to it. But we'll talk to him next. And then next, our Marcus Grant from the NFL Network will be with us. Stay with us. Sheeman and Shepherd at 99.3 ESPN.
You can always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepherd on Southwest Florida's Sports Leader, 99.3 ESPN. Couple of reminders. Tomorrow we're broadcasting out at Walmart in Estero, out in the parking lot, literally, and looking for people to drop off some bikes and toys with Toys for Tots and helping out the needy a little bit over the holidays with some great gifts. So come on by and see us. We're there from 2 to 6, but Beasley Broadcasting will be there from 6A to 6P. If you want to catch our show, it doesn't matter. If you want to do it at lunchtime, go do it with another show in our company, just as long as the toys get donated and we'll get them to the right people. So that's the Beasley Bike Drive all day tomorrow out of their Walmart in Estero. Joining us now is John Naylor. He's the executive director of the City of Palms Classic. We've been talking about this. We broadcast out there last year. Going to do it again next week. It starts next week. The most elite high school basketball players and teams in the country coming here to Fort Myers. Been doing it for 46 years. It's the marquee tournament for high school basketball across the country. And John joins us right now. John, how are you today?
Hey, John. Great, thank you. Thanks for having us with you today.
We're looking forward to it. Looking forward to going out there. So it's one thing for me to say it, but kind of tell our audience a little bit. Like, six of the top 25 players in the country are coming here. I mean, these are guys you're going to see in the NBA. You're going to see at the elite colleges for March Madness. You're going to see them first here in this tournament. And it's been this way year after year after year.
Absolutely. In fact, 141 NBA draft picks since 1982. There are 72 current NBA players that played at least once in the City of Palms tournament. So names that you've seen in just recent years, like Ben Simmons and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, were all here playing just a couple years ago. And we got that same caliber of folks again this year. Right now, actually, Max Prep just came out with their top 25 this week, and we have seven of the top 25 teams in the country, including number two, IMG Academy from just up the road in Bradenton, number three, Oak Hill Academy, number five, University from Fort Lauderdale that won last year's championship. Number seven, a great little team, McEachern from Powder Springs, Georgia. They've got a little point guard, Sharif Cooper, mm-hmm. who scored 42 points in one game last year at City of Palms. And the Nike EYBL wrap-up at the Peach Jam, he led all scorers with a 38-point average. Not to be outdone, number eight in the country, Imhotep Charter from Philadelphia will be here. Number 12, Paul the Sixth from Fairfax, Virginia. And number 17, Vashon High from St. Louis, a perennial powerhouse in the St. Louis area. So there's some great matchups going to be here from the out-of-city or out-of-town teams, but also with some of our Sunshine local series. The first night, we have Lehigh playing against the Villages. We have Charlotte playing against Olive Branch, Mississippi. Olive Branch has a senior named DJ Jeffries, who is committed to Memphis, who is really, really good. He's one of the top players. And then the last game on Monday night at 8:45 is Oak Hill Academy, again, you know, ranked number three in the country, will be there. And so it should be a fun tournament with lots of great talent there.
Oak Hill with Cole Anthony, and he's, if you haven't seen him, I've seen a couple of videos. Man, he is something else. You got Vernon Carey Jr., you know, Josh Green. There's so many great players. I've looked at some of the DJ Jeffries, Watford, Jeremy Rowe. I mean, I've looked at videos of some of these kids. Man, oh, man, it's an amazing tournament. How hard is it to – do you find yourself having to turn down a lot of schools that want to play in this?
Well, actually, it's more of an invitational.
Yeah.
Donnie Wilkie, our tournament director, spends really all basketball season literally traveling the country looking at all these teams to see, you know, who they have this year, who they might have next year. I think Donnie told me that including City of Palms last year and – January, February, and March, he saw a little over 200 high school basketball games this year. Mm. So he looks out to see what's going on. You know, one of the phenomena lately, which kind of messes things up a little bit, is all these kids transferring from school to school.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So there are kids a good example, Jaden Springer, who's at IMG now, mm-hmm. was at Rocky River, North Carolina. And Rocky River was invited and had been accepted. But then as soon as Jaden Springer transfers, you know, they don't have a team anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, those transfers, you know, don't help us. Sometimes they do when you get a Cole Anthony and a Coffee Cockburn transferring mm-hmm. to Oak Hill. That just makes them that much stronger.
John Naylor is with us, the executive director of the City of Palms Classic, which is next week, December 17th through the 22nd at Suncoast Credit Union Arena. Again, we'll be broadcasting out there one day next week as well. Any future Gators, Seminoles, or Hurricanes that we're going to be seeing that you know of? I mean, some of these kids have announced where they're going to school. Some haven't yet, but I thought I'd ask if you knew of any off the top of your head.
Actually, Trey Mann from the Villages mm-hmm. that will be playing against Lehigh on Monday night has committed to Florida.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not sure if I know of any other from Miami or the Seminoles. Although you're talking about Vernon Carey, just last Thursday, Vernon Carey committed to Duke.
Hmm. Are any of those big-time coaches, Coach K or Roy Williams, or anybody that
Roy Williams comes pretty regularly. He says he comes for the fried brownies in the food court.
It is a tremendous food court. Last year was outstanding. But, you know, just even including all of that stuff, how much prep goes into putting this whole thing together? I would imagine once this is done after next week, you must start right away all over again. Do you ever get a break?
Well, I have a little nervous breakdown right after Christmas. But it's kind of on autopilot. Obviously, Donnie's out looking at teams.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do much until about the 1st of April or so when I reach out to our sponsors. And just to, you know, well, first I sent them a thank you note in January, but then I reach out to them just to see if they want to continue, you know, supporting us. And fortunately, last year I only lost, you know, two sponsors for this year, but both of them said they'd be back next year. So, but then there's this kind of a process. We, you know, we have tickets available starting about June 1st, and we reach out to the people who had season tickets, you know, the prior year. And then it just kind of it just kind of flows together. The first year I did it, which was 5 years ago, it was a little hairy because I didn't know what the hell I was doing. But now I've kind of got it down to a science, so that I don't go crazy all at once. And there's always that, that last minute flurry to get the programs printed and all that stuff. But the Suncoast Credit Union Arena at FSW is an incredible facility for both spectators and the teams and for me from an administrative standpoint. I mean, Bishop Rowe was a great home for us for 22 years, but to go from two locker rooms to five locker rooms to actually having administrative offices and a real place to have a media room, it's quite a difference.
Well, you mentioned Donnie and watching all the basketball games and all that stuff, and just to kind of goes back to what I mentioned earlier about, and obviously it's an invitational, but how many teams does he have to politely, he must get calls relentlessly, please pick us, we'd like to be invited. How many times a day do you think he has to politely decline, say, well, we'd love to have you, but we're booked right now, and thinking deep down, well, you're just simply not good enough. But he must have some tough decisions to make, I would imagine.
He does. Nike is our apparel sponsor, and Nike gets to pick one team out of the big tournament, the 16 field. Given a push comes to shove, you've got a Nike or an Under Armour or an Adidas team, the Nike team will get the nod 9 times out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
So that wheels it down a little bit. And after doing it for 34 years, there's hardly a high school and college coach in America that doesn't know who Donnie Wilkie is. Mm-hmm. I think he has a pretty good relationship with all those coaches. For example, Mountain Brook's coming back from Alabama this year. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure there are other good teams from Alabama, but we don't like to, load any one state up. Now, a couple years ago, we had to because Georgia was the only, I think we had 5 teams from Georgia that year. Georgia was the only team or the only state that was out of school early enough to be able to get the team sanctioned to be able to play. So every year is a little different.
Mm-hmm. Well, John, we're going to give some tickets away to this pretty soon, but tell our audience how they can go ahead and buy tickets for next week.
Okay. The arena box office is open from Monday to Friday from 10 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon. They're also available at the Barbara B. Mann ticket office the same days and same hours, but frankly, it's easier to go over to the arena. Obviously, once we get to next Monday, they will be there an hour before every start time. You can also order them online by going to our website, which is cityofpalmsclassic.com. That's cityofpalmsclassic, all one word, .com, and click on tickets. And the different options and prices are listed there. Or you could, again, same day, walk up and purchase them, at the box office.
All right. Fantastic. Excellent. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you in person next week. John, thanks for coming on today. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
my
John.
Pleasure. Thank you.
All right. As
John Naylor, the executive director of the City of Palms Basketball Classic. And, that's next week, December 17th through the 22nd. We'll be out there. Is it Friday we're going to be out there?
Yeah, Friday.
Okay. Looking forward to all that.
Week from tomorrow.
And he just told you how you can get tickets. We're going to give away a couple of tickets to that. That's at the Suncoast Credit Union Arena, by the way. Tell you what, let's do it right now. Chris, what we got? A couple of tickets? 4 tickets? 2 tickets? What do we want to give away here?
Yeah, we gave away 4 yesterday, didn't we?
I think so.
All right, so we'll give away 2 to day 2.
2 to day 2.
City of Palms. So that's next Tuesday.
There you go.
And they're all day passes, so you just go and you watch.
Nice.
Caller number 9, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Caller 9 is a winner. Sheeman & Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN.
Craig and Pete have you covered on the main sports. Chris will get you covered on everything else. It's the Obscure Sports Minute.
The Florida Everblades are on the road. Why is my headphone light? Okay, never mind. Florida Everblades on the road tonight, carrying a 4-game win streak into Greenville to take on the Swamp Rabbits. That's a 7 o'clock puck drop. And catch the game on our sister station, 770 WJBX, starting at 6:45. Staying with hockey, 8 games in the NHL tonight. Kings at Blue Jackets. That looks good. What else looks good? Vancouver at Nashville. Winnipeg hosts Edmonton. Oh, that's a fun game.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jets hosting the Oilers. The big one, though, Tampa Bay hosting the Toronto Blue Jays. Woo! And good news for the Lightning.
The
they get their
Leafs.
Goalie.
The Maple Leafs.
What did I say?
Blue Jays.
That's what I meant. They get their goalie Andre Vasilevsky back tonight. He's been out for a month with a fractured left foot. And don't forget tonight, the Women's Volleyball Final Four. It's on ESPN. First up, number 4, BYU against number 1, Stanford. Then number 3, Illinois going up against number 7, Nebraska.
All right. Big Ten, well represented.
Yeah.
What is a swamp rabbit? Is that just a regular rabbit that lives in a swamp?
Sounds like a varmint, doesn't it?
Or is it something more than that? Because rabbits are cute.
Swamp rabbit sounds like a nice name to say glorified rat.
Does seem like that.
That's just it's a type of rabbit.
Yeah.
Is it more of a beaver?
It lives in the swamp.
It's also known as a swamp hare.
Well, a hare.
It's a large cottontail rabbit found in the swamps and wetlands in southern United States. Other common names for the swamp rabbit include marsh rabbit, cane cutter. Species has a strong preference for wet areas, and it will take to the water and swim.
What does it eat?
Rabbits swim?
What does it eat?
Yeah.
Swamp rabbits, they're herbivores. They eat a variety of...
Plants, obviously, herbivores.
Foraged
plants. They're veggies.
Including grasses, sedges, shrubs, tree bark seedings, and twigs. They feed mainly at night.
Oh.
So bottom line,
but rain showers will often cause them to feed during daytime as well. Yeah. Study has found that the preferred food are savanna pennigrass. Nobody cares about that.
Well, no. Bottom line, is this any different than the little bunny rabbit that always is out here right when I go out to my car every night?
It's bigger.
Swamp rabbit's like a 5-pound cottontail, says 317. That sounds about...
Big rabbit. Rival males will also often engage in aggressive encounters that sometimes become violent enough to kill one of the combatants. When frightened, males will stand on their hind legs, use their teeth and claws to inflict wounds on their opponents. They will also jump from the ground and strike with the sharp claws of their hind feet.
Wow. 317 also says, this is a guy that says they have a 5-pound cottontail, says they also have a pooping log they always go to.
It's like their regular toilet.
Like a litter box, but
and
their own
here
poop
goes,
log.
Here goes our show again.
There we go. No place like home. That's what I always say.
When you want to know poop information, this is the home right here. Sheeman and Shep. Doesn't matter.
They need like a squatty potty to get, you know, good angle. And
Let's not make fun of the squatty potty. That is a fantastic. In fact, I had a white elephant last year for Christmas, right?
Yeah.
It's called Poo-Pourri. Little spray.
Oh, yeah,
I'm down with that. Great.
Yeah.
And a squatty potty.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great gift.
Fantastic.
Got crickets.
Really?
Yeah. Like somebody
asked. Oh, you were the gifter.
I was the gifter. Right. White elephant. You don't know what you're going to get. And somebody actually asked for the receipt.
Oh!
I'm not going to name names.
That you saying that right there means it's somebody in this building. Wait a minute, where were you doing a white elephant exchange?
No, not in this building.
Oh.
But a family
member
that listens?
One of my in-laws.
Your family does a white elephant tradition?
Yep.
Was it one of the ones that you hate?
No. I don't hate any of my in-laws.
At a place that I used to work, we always did a white elephant.
Not your in-laws.
Yeah, I got stronger feelings against my own family than my in-laws.
That's what I meant.
No, this is my in-law's family.
Wow.
You mentioned it.
So you got the potty, the squatty potty, and some poo-pourri.
And poo-pourri. I thought it was a great gift, and
poo-pourri.
Got a call a few days later. Hey,
have you not experienced poo-pourri?
Oh my gosh, Pete! You spray it ahead of time. The water, it creates like this film on the water.
Yeah.
And when you poop, when it hits the water,
it creates a bouquet that is lovely.
It smells fresh.
It works with enzymes, so it works.
It's for kids or for
no, it's
everybody.
For adults.
No.
It works on
if you've got to go, you go to the bed before you drop trowel and do all that. You grab this little pump spray, you go two little sprays into the water, and then you just go, and then your stuff doesn't smell.
You have been missing out.
How do you not have this?
Maybe I don't realize it. I don't
this
know.
This is standard
no,
issue.
The Glad air freshener
doesn't get
that doesn't
stuff.
Work. Now you're just mixing the smell of poop with flowers.
And when you leave, it comes out with you with the smell of flowery
yes.
poop into the house and it trails.
And
yeah.
see this is a classic case right here on the text line of people who just don't know what they're talking about. LeBron hater number one says, if I get a squatty potty, I would immediately unfriend you. You don't know what you're talking about, LeBron hater number one.
Yeah.
You have never used a squatty potty, and the 239 immediately followed your text with, I love squatty potty.
Yeah.
It's great. It's all about the angle.
So squatty potty is just...
It's a platform
it
that you
lifts
your
legs,
feet up,
yeah.
And it creates
just helps,
a better angle
it helps
for your,
leverage.
Your sphincter.
Yeah, but for little kids or for adults?
Adults. You want to see one? Go to Matt Mangus's office right now. He uses one as a step stool underneath his desk. You'll get the whole concept. He actually has one in his office instead of
who
in
does?
The bathroom. Mangus does.
Oh, does he?
Go look right under his desk. He's got one there right now. I'll fill the next 30 minutes. Go ahead. Go look.
we got 30 seconds
next break.
I'll show it to you during the break. Not in action, obviously. I'll just demonstrate. Like how the flight attendant doesn't actually pull the tabs on the life preserver.
Yeah.
I always wanted to do that by accident.
Pull the tab or you could manually inflate.
Yeah.
Those videos are
I love when they go. Well, remember they used to do them live. Blow it into the I go, when I was old, I'd be like, is that the most humiliating thing? She goes, we all hate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the scene in Tommy Boy where he pulls the straps to gets the kid one on.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's a great movie. Great movie, Tommy Boy.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
good. Not as good as A Few Good Men or
You know what I watched last night? I hadn't seen it in a few years. It's the first one. It is Hangover.
Those are great.
Oh, no, the first one. The other two got a little, but man, that first one is beyond ridiculously funny. There isn't 2 minutes that go by where you're not laughing.
Yeah, it is funny.
Fantastic.
No question.
By the way, quick, Manny Diaz says the turnover chain will always belong to the University of Miami.
Yeah, we're not taking that away.
Nope, he adds he'll be involved with Temple recruiting, and he will coach Miami's players at the Pinstripe Bowl against Wisconsin, saying, my job is unfinished.
Okay.
He is going to be missed big time. I didn't know he was a producer at ESPN at one point, years ago.
I got into coaching?
Ago. Yeah.
Very good.
Before he did.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. There's hope.
Did I? See, Chris? you'll be an intern on Nick Saban's staff someday. Dustin, congratulations. He was the one that won the tickets for the City of Palms Classic. We've got WWE tickets to give away in the 4 o'clock hour. Plus, Marcus Grant will join us from the NFL Network. Get your fantasy football questions ready for that for your playoffs. And we'll update our Twitter poll. And Pete and I, we're going to talk about some nasty food situations at various stadiums across the country that ESPN just did a whole.
Outside the lines. We watched the video.
Yeah, outside the lines broke it down.
Shocking stuff.
We have some rankings here that you are going to.
Rank is the right word.
You will never eat in a stadium again.
You won't need a squatty potty because it'll slide right out of you. All right, that's all coming up. Sheeman and Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.